Let me tell you something. We're going to talk today, okay? We're going to talk because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and I think we need to talk. First of all, though, I want to tell you something. I am so thankful to be here today. I'm so thankful to come and see family. Family and friends, loved ones, brothers and sisters in Christ. And the reason I can stand up here boldly is because I know you love me. And that's a comfort. So the reason I say that, too, is that the opportunity to be able to come and preach a lesson from God's Word. The opportunity to be able to talk together in love and to say, hey, where have we been? Where are we going? What's the direction of our path right now spiritually? Are we doing everything that we can do? So I want to talk about that today, because this is a blessing just not for me, but for Janet, for my mom, for my sister, for us to be together. I look for an excuse to come down here, and this is the best one I can think of.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So before I begin today, I want to be very clear about something. I want to be very clear that I know that COVID is real. Okay? I know it's real. And I know that I prayed for people that have had it. I hope nobody ever gets it. But we know they will, right? We know they have. And my very heartfelt sympathy goes out to people who have lost loved ones to COVID. I can't stand it. I can't stand COVID. I despise it. I despise what it has done to our nation. I despise what it has done to the church. So let's talk about it. Is that okay if we talk about that today? Okay. Then we will. You know, I could have very easily come down here to Poto today, and I could have talked to you guys. I could have gone to Matthew 14, and I could have said, you remember Matthew 14 when the apostles were out there in the middle of the lake, and they were way out there, and the storm blew up, and it was crazy out there, and they thought they were going to die, and all of a sudden they see something in the distance, and it's Jesus, and they said, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And he goes, Jesus goes, no, don't fear, it is I. And Peter says, what? Well, if it's really you, then let me walk out there to you. And he said, come. He said, come on out, Peter. So Peter comes on out there, and he's walking on the water. And then all of a sudden, he starts looking down at the waves, the problems, the troubles. He starts sinking, right? And he goes, help me. Help me. So Jesus reaches down, and he grabs him, puts him in the boat. And I don't know if you guys have read the rest of that story, but I think it's fascinating when it says that all of a sudden they were at their destination. Always thought about that one. They were 3 or 4 miles out, and then all of a sudden they're there. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So that just goes to show you God's power. I could have talked about that, right? And it's something, because if we start focusing on problems of this world, if we absolutely are absorbed by that, we will never focus on Christ, and we will sink. We will sink. I'm telling you right now, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing congregations that are suffering so horribly bad because of this. They've taken their eyes off of the Christ. And they're focusing on this exclusively. Could have told you that story. Man, forgot my phone. I've got to have it. I have a scripture on it. And my memory isn't as good as it used to be. Okay? All right. Now, you guys know this scripture. Some of you still have it memorized. But I wanted to... Not to belittle you, not to berate you or anything, but I want to ask you guys a question about COVID. Is COVID true? Is COVID noble? Is COVID right? Is COVID pure? Is COVID lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Then stop dwelling on it. Stop it. All those things that I just told you, those are things that we're supposed to dwell on. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. I'm not saying that to make you guys angry. I'm not saying that to make anybody go, well, I don't like hearing that. I think you are making light of this. I'm not making light of it. We'll get on with this, and I will tell you everything that I know, because I don't want the church living in fear. I don't want anybody just existing. I think we should live. I'm sick of existing, and I hope you are too. I hope you're so sick of existing to this point that you're willing to take a step out and do something about it. So, Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So trust me when I tell you this, we were built together. We're designed to be together. We're designed to be able to see each other so we can read emotion. So I can say, hey, she's crying. Something's wrong there. I can tell it because I see them so often. It's not the norm. But if I can't see you, then I can't tell that. I don't know if you're hurting. I can't help you. I can't come and love on you. Can't do it. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I remember at our place when we had 150. I remember at your place when you'd have 300 that gathered in his name. We need that back. If there was ever a time when we needed to be back, it's now. Because I'm going to tell you guys something right now. If we don't stand up tall as the church, we're going to get run over as a nation. We are the salt of the earth. And if the salt's not out there, what's happening? What's happening? They're not getting it. It was already in bad shape, wasn't it? And you take the church out of the mix, and that's the recipe for disaster. We don't want that. I don't want that. Romans 1:11-12. I like this scripture. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And I like the first part. I long to see you. If I can't see you, I can't impart a spiritual gift. If I can't see you, I can't do that. I can't help. So without a doubt, this COVID-19, it's presented us with challenges like we've never seen before, hadn't it? It's changed our lives, and to the point that we thought we would never see this as Americans. I thought I would never be challenged like this, but I am, and y'all are too. So without a doubt, it caught the attention of the entire world. I don't know of a single country that's escaped it entirely. They said that Madagascar, they said that they hadn't had a case, but I don't know that. They said that's the only one. But I don't know, but they haven't been affected by it, by a loved one. Some countries were struck more severe than others. You guys know that. But our nation, the mixture of politics and COVID has been ugly. The mixture of politics and COVID in the church has brought situations in where it's pitted brother against brother, sister against sister, and families against families. And it's been a rough road for sure, and it should not be that way. So much so that America is very difficult to recognize today. It's not the same, is it? It's not the same place. No telling what America will look like a year from now. Moreover, I hope it's better, but moreover, I hope the church is better. You want to know what bothers me the most about the whole thing? Church assemblies. The lack of worship assemblies, the gathering of God's people. I don't want anybody getting me wrong, because when it first happened, you know, it's an unknown. We don't know, man. We didn't know what was going on a year ago. It was like, wow. I mean, I worked for the federal government, and I will tell you right now, I've been home from work since March the 10th of last year, working from home. Okay? For the church, as far as it was concerned, I was thankful for the technology that provided us with this temporary solution. Did you hear what I just said? A temporary solution because initially the government said, you will not do this. And we're church people. We know that we're supposed to obey our government, right? And we were good citizens, so we did that. At Nuwala, we did that for a month, and when they lifted it, we started meeting again. We immediately started meeting again. Now, there were some of our number that said, if you don't do this, we won't be there. If we don't do that, we won't be there. If you don't bow down and do what I say, we'll go someplace else. Look what that did. Oh, my goodness. Is that not Satan at work? Oh, my. Temporary to come out here and use Facebook or YouTube Here's what I think. I think that there's a very real danger, and just like in the garden, I think that Satan has slithered its way in looking like COVID, and it's damaged the cause of Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Now, Satan loves to cause trouble. I think we know this. And what better way to do it than by splitting us up physically? Literally, we can't meet. And then splitting our way of thinking. Mother against daughter. Father against son. Brother and sister in Christ against brother and sister in Christ. Well, I want y'all to think about that, okay? I want you to say, well, I don't know what your opinion is on it. I don't know. I respect everybody's right to think and to believe. But I really think that every one of us need to study this situation. And I'm going to tell you, I was going to throw in local news channels when I said that earlier. Whatever is, whatever's pure, whatever's, they are not. So if you're glued to your TV set and you're glued to Channel 5 or Channel 8 or Channel 40 or Channel 24 or whatever it might be, if you're glued to that and that's where you're getting your information rather than God's Word, then I want you to rethink that. Okay, we're Christians, right? Okay, we are. So that's where I'm going to get my intel is from God. I'm not going to get it from Mike Schneider or Billy Bob Joe Weatherman or whoever, because every time I turn that channel, I hear the same phrases. It's like they've been all been programmed, okay, to say the same thing. What better way? That's what psychiatrists use to hypnotize. Did you guys know that hypnotists use that methodology in order to get you to think a certain way? I want to think the way God thinks. That's what I want. I hope you do too. But whoever would have thought it possible to divide God's people in such a way and so effectively? Wasn't it efficient? I want you to think about a brother and sister in Christ out there that you differ with on this subject and why. Okay? God's so smart, isn't he? He's so smart, all-knowing. And he displayed the greatest wisdom when he created man. He knew that all of us depend on closeness and gathering and fellowship to survive. You guys have all heard this before. If a baby's born and it just lays there without being touched, it dies, doesn't it? A baby would die because it has to have that human touch. So God knows this too for us. He knows that we need these even as adults. So he planned for us to meet together in a congregational setting, or he wouldn't have given us such scripture in Hebrews. I'll guarantee it. So this allows us to have that very personal touch. We can see each other. No amount of live streaming on YouTube or Facebook can replace the personal touch. It can't. And you know what? It's never going to with me because I love you guys. I want to be near you. I want to be closer than 6 foot to you. I want to be able to hug you like I used to could. And I feel like we've been robbed of that. And I'm tired of it. So it's pretty simple to me. There's just no substitute for regular planned uplifting worship assemblies and Bible classes where we as Christians can come together and we can sing songs of praise to our God, our Father, and with others that think just like that and are of like mind in Christ. But here he comes again, old Satan. Here he comes again, and he has planted fears in the hearts of so many, especially older members, it seems like. Especially older members are just frightened absolutely to the point of paralyzation. Do you feel like you've been frightened to the point of paralyzation where if you move, if you go, if you just happen to be in the wrong proximity, then you're going to die? I hope not. I hope you don't feel that way, because I'll be honest, this made me angry. It made me angry to see my mom scared. It made me angry to see older folks afraid to go to the store and get out and be who they are in Christ. It made me mad. The thought of God's people being afraid to come and go like us Americans are so fond of doing, I am, because it's all I know. Since I came out of the egg, I've been free. I'm a free man. Y'all are free men and you are free women. I can still say those terms, right? Men and women. I don't have to use a specific pronoun with y'all, do I? Good. Good. Then we're thinking alike. I love being free. I love my country. I love the church. I love my Father. Here's another thing that got to me. I see a lot of people who are deathly afraid of going to worship assembly, but they're not afraid to go to Walmart. They're not afraid to go to funerals. They're not afraid to go to parties. They're not afraid to go to sporting events, ball games. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today. That's the crux. Oh, my. Are you okay? You still love me? I hope so, because I love y'all. I'm really thankful to be able, because I wanted to get some of this off of my chest, too. I hope that people at Nuwala are watching this live stream. I'll get back and they'll say, you are no longer an elder. Nah. I don't want anybody here getting the wrong idea. I try to practice safe methodologies. I don't want to get COVID. I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to get a cold. I don't want to get a cut. I don't want to get burned. I burned myself on the stove. I didn't want to get that. But things are going to happen. There's plenty of ways to stay safe, isn't there? There's a lot of ways to stay safe. And you know something that they've always told us since I was a little kid, wash your hands, don't touch your face, don't pick your nose. You'll get sick. Right? So there are things that we can do. There are plenty of ways. So much more so at church than at the supermarket, right? Because here's what I know about y'all. And the one people that I know at Nuwala as well. If you're sick, you're not going to come in here. Okay? If you're not going to come in here if you're sick because you love me, right? You don't want me getting sick. I don't care what malady it is. I don't care if it's the common cold. If I'm sick, I'm not going to come and expose you to it. And it's more keen now than it was, wasn't it? But here's something else that I know about science. I wasn't a very smart kid growing up in school, but I know that unless I'm exposed to something, my immune system is never going to kick in and fight it. I learned this. You know, can y'all get time for a quick story? Okay, so I was stationed over in the country of Turkey for 4 years, me and Janet. We had 1.5 children while we were there. Ended up being 2. But I learned a lot living in the country of Turkey because I learned about the original 7 churches of Asia were in the country of Turkey. Did you guys know that? Ephesus, Thyatira. If you look on a map, you'll see them in your Bible in that map in the back. You'll see that all of them are there. We had the great fortune to go and visit. I got to see them all. Me and Janet traveled over and we went to Ephesus together. What we learned was that back in the day in the early church that the Romans hated Christians and they were persecuting them and killing them. We went one time to this place called the Underground City. And it was truly, and if you looked out across the field, we went out there, we took a bus out there, and I'm looking, and I said, where is it? I don't see it. And they said, well, moron, it's underground, remember? Underground City. All right, I'm from Oklahoma. I said, cut me some slack. So we went in this thing. 10 stories down. Our brothers and sisters in Christ were smart. Y'all need to think about them. They had vent shafts. They knew how to drill a hole over here on this side and have an intake and an outtake for oxygen to come in and leave and for have fresh air in there all the time. They had their animals down there. They had cows. They had chickens. They had that. Guess what else they had? They had a baptistry. So they had this thing rigged where when you entered it, there was this huge stone, and it was round. It was like a wheel, and it was about this wide. It was about this wide. And they had a trip lever on it, and if Roman soldiers were onto them, and they would run, they would trip that lever, go inside, and they could run, and they had escape tunnels out all over the place. So let me tell you why I'm telling you this story. If they got caught, they were killed. There was no 99% chance they were going to survive. Do you get my drift? Do you understand what I'm saying? It was for sure. If they were caught, they were going to die. They did not have 99% chance of survival. I was amazed by their drive because they wanted to live so that they could still share the gospel. I'm impressed by that. So maybe it's time that a lot of folks, a lot of us, rethink what we're saying to ourselves about our faith. A lot of people need to rethink it when they go to work, when they play golf, when they eat out, when they meet with family and friends, but they excuse themselves from the assembly. God's people. I would rather be with you, Daddy used to have a saying, I'd rather be with you than have keys to the White House. And I mean that. I would rather be with y'all than anybody on God's earth. Because we think alike. We know each other. We love each other. We're like-minded. We know His Word and what it says to us. And I wrote this note down here. Honestly, how long can we keep running away from our God-given commission to go into the world and teach the gospel to every creature? How long can we do that? How long can we keep the wagon circled and just exist? So our auditorium at Nuwala will hold 200 people. We've proven that. Whenever we have an area wide, there is no place for another seat. And I'm not bragging about it. I mean, I'm thankful for that. Y'all may not know this, but I'm the de facto youth minister at Nuwala. I am the world's oldest youth minister. But, you know, as long as those kids are still willing to get in that van with me, I'll drive it. I'll go. And we're still going. We never stopped. Nuwala and Seminole and Ada were the only three congregations. We have a normal summer and winter schedule for area-wide teen gatherings. Nuwala, Ada, and Seminole were the only three that still held them. And we thank God for that because we're so little that nobody, they would never let us play and join in their reindeer games. All the big congregations got to have them, you know. But we like having them too. We love gathering. So we'll hold about 200. Y'all look like you'll hold about 300 plus here. To me, I look at that, and I'd say it's pretty easy for social distancing if you have to do that. Wouldn't you? There's room up here. I see room all over the place. I bet you we could get 60 more people in here easy if we were trying to keep some sort of mathematical ratio of 6 feet. So then I'm telling you, I'm reminded of those early Christians who wouldn't deny or compromise worship with the Christ under any circumstance. And I think we need to be more like them. Just looking down the road when we get back to normal, whatever that is, I'm not worried about strong Christians. I'm not worried about that hardcore person that's out there that says, I'll never miss. If that door's open, I'm there. I'm worried about those people who are out there on the cusp, on the hairy edge. They're out there, and we were barely keeping them anyway. They're not coming back. They're not going to come back. This was like a get-out-of-jail-free card for them. So that's our work. Right there, these people that were out on the edge, and they haven't made a commitment to Christ yet. They still need salvation. And if we're locked down, not doing anything, how are we ever going to reach them? How are we ever going to do this? You know, those people who have been absent for several months when things were normal, they probably have just going to become satisfied with staying home. And there's another thing. That when these restrictions are totally lifted, Governor Stitt lifted a lot of them here the other day. If y'all didn't hear that, he did. And I'm a pretty vocal guy. I wrote him a letter. I wrote him an email and said, stop the madness. And amazingly, 3 days later, he did. But it might not have been my letter. It might have been the one Janet wrote, you know. So I think that we need to be involved. If we want it, then we better ask for it. Right? So we need to pray about it. And so I've decided, me and my wife have decided, that God's commission is more important than anything that a man can levy on us. We've got serious work to do down in the trenches. Work that we should have probably been more aware of before COVID hit. But now, what a reset. What a way to open our eyes to saying, hey, you know what? There's no guarantee of anything. There's nothing that's just absolutely granted. So we need to make our plans right now to be able to reach out to those people who were on the cusp, who were on the edge. We need to be making plans to see that they're not permanently disconnected from us. And this is going to call for a level of shepherding like it's never been seen before. Shepherds? Shepherd? So here's what I beg of you as members of this flock, members of Nuwala, make it easy on your shepherds. Be grown-ups. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Get back to worship. Get back to gatherings. Get back to work. Last September, me and the other two shepherds at Nuwala, along with a couple of our deacons and a couple of men in our congregation that just wanted to go, we went to an elders conference at Manford, Oklahoma. Now, this is a relatively new event. As a matter of fact, this past September was the second one that they held. The first year, there were about 200 men that showed up at this. We were there. And this past year, because of COVID, there was 100. That's still a good gathering. I think there was something like 27 congregations represented there in Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, other places. So it was a very uplifting event, and they allowed a shepherd from each congregation to stand up and give a State of the Union. You got to give a quick thumbnail sketch about what's going on at your congregation. And so I would tell you, it hurt me to hear some things. It hurt me to hear that some congregations may not make it. This is congregations of the Lord's church. They may not make it because people are no longer coming. They're focused on fear. They're focused on things that are not praiseworthy. It hurt me to hear that they may have to close their doors. Others said that their numbers are so low that they are unable to meet financial commitments that they have made. Several of them have built brand new buildings. And I'm going to tell you, we're about to launch off on, y'all are too. And we've got about a $1.2 million project that we're about to launch out on. And if people stop coming, we can't do it. We can't do it. So they've got financial commitments. They're having to cut in several areas, and that's never good. Well, usually the first thing that goes is the youth minister. He's gone. Get on out of here. And then they go to the preacher and say, well, we can still pay your salary, but that insurance thing, that's on you. And now that 401k, hope you can still make that out of your salary on your own. Some of them told us that. Some of us told us that many of their members have decided that they're going to stay home permanently, even if there were no more restrictions. So let me tell you something. We may need to rethink that Facebook and YouTube stuff. Either that, or we got to have a really good understanding about what it means to gather. Because that's not gathering. That's not gathering. So some of them said that they've become accustomed to this. They like just staying in their pajamas and sipping coffee on the couch while they're listening to the live stream. So what I've determined, though, is that they don't fellowship anymore. They don't come to fellowship. And there's been this handy excuse out there of COVID. Okay? So that's waning. They're running out. I've bumped all this stuff up against God's word, and I deem it not good not to gather. I deem it not good not to gather because I think that we need it. Well, Paul, is there any good news? Do you have anything good for us today? Yes, I do. The bright side of this is, if we truly reflect on it, this disruption that has happened is going to give us a very good reason to hit the reset button and take a really serious, fresh look at the way we do things, okay? And our own personal faith and where we're headed spiritually. And my hope is that we quickly begin to see that we can't continue the path of the past year. It's not going to work. We will die. It is unsustainable. We can't do it. Unless I've completely misread the New Testament, the Sunday assembly is not an evangelistic tool or an outreach ministry. It's a pit stop for us to come in and worship our God and to refuel and to get recharged so we can go and be equipped to go out and teach gospel. That's what I think. People out there that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ, I'm sick and tired of not seeing our entire congregation come together as the body. I think that every one of us here has heard the following scripture, and I think we're going to get to hear it again. You ready? 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in the fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Wow. That's a lot of stuff there, isn't it? You know, in a nutshell, God's saying we need every part to make this work. So, as the church, if the hand and the eye stay at home, what's going on? We're missing a part of the body, and we can't function without it. That makes perfect sense to me. I'm really glad that God, you see how God took great pains to explain this to a guy like me so I could even understand it. I get it. I get it good. I'm sitting here going, man, thank you for that. You know, it's almost as if though we've forgotten how much the Father loves us. And it's almost as if though we've forgotten his incredible power to heal. And that includes providing everything that we need to survive, his children. So I have one last scripture from God's word, and then this message will be yours. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that includes to worship in the gathering of the saints on the first day of the week. Right? You know, I have to trust in God to think that every time I meet somebody, I'm not going to die. Every time I have an encounter, I want to tell you guys, I was going down to Searcy, Arkansas back in October, and I stopped at an Arkansas State, really nice, you've probably seen it, it's right off I-40, it's one of them roadside rest stops in Arkansas. And I walked in there, and I didn't have a mask on. I was walking into the men's restroom, and the women's was right there, and this lady's walking out. She went, he doesn't have a mask on. She almost had a heart attack because I didn't have a mask on. And I'm sitting here going, that's how bad it is. That's how deep this fear is. That woman was afraid of me as if though I was the only one carrying the COVID. And she got away from me like I was that guy. That one in however 6 billion that are on God's earth face. And I said, it's cool. I'm clean. I have a really great understanding now looking at people who had leprosy in Scripture when it says, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine somebody going, I got the COVID. Don't come near me. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter. I have 2 4-year-old granddaughters, but I have one. And they come to our house, and she will say, who's praying for the meal today? This is part of their training, you know. So Iris will say, my turn, Pappy. And I'll say, pray for us, girl. And she'll go, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for, and she's looking, I'm watching her. She goes, I thank you for Mama, for Daddy, for Sissy, for Nana, for Pappy. And Lord, I thank you for this food to make us strong. And yes, Lord, please let the COVID go away and never come back again. Amen. Every time. Isn't that something? It's on her mind. She knows it's not good. She's four. So here's what my challenge to everyone here today is this. I challenge all of us to be thinking of appropriate ways to get the attention of the church and a nation that feels that its very foundation is shaking beneath it. And help us all to plant our feet back on solid ground. Absolutely trusting in the Father to protect us from this and everything else. Absolutely trusting in the Father to guide, guard, and direct our steps. I pray that we won't be afraid to get together. And I pray that we're not living in fear. I pray that we won't just exist, but that we will live and we will be free. And we'll be serving the Father, and we'll be doing all those things that we know that are good and pure and true. I hope that this has been something that all of us needed to hear today. Like I said before, my goal today was to bring a message of hope and not to make anybody angry or upset with what I said. Because I do love everyone here. We don't want to leave this place today because without offering an invitation. Because it's important that if there's something on somebody's heart where they need to be obedient to the gospel, then we want to make that happen today. We had two baptisms last week. We baptized all of our girls named Riley last week. We roll them up like that at Nuwala. Riley Cotner, I baptized her, and Riley Kropog's dad baptized her last week. So baptisms are still happening. If you need that today, then that's available to you. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need prayers for strength, if you need prayers of encouragement to say, I'm no longer going to live in fear of this day, I'm going to be God's servant, then this invitation is yours as we come and sing.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his